Father, we thank you for the power of prayer. It connects us to a holy God by way of Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank you for the privilege to stand before your people to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. It is our prayers always that we might decrease and that you might increase. Save someone today, encourage another, but when this time is done, we'll give your name all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 The Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, to serve the Lord with gladness, to come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he's God. It is he who hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. Yeah. Oh, y'all didn't hear that thing. Yeah. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. There's a word from the Lord today that comes from 1 John. So glad that we can share that word there in the fourth chapter. And we're going to just take up the 20th and 21st verses. It says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, Strange Love. Strange Love. I mentioned that in my passing this week, and folks start laughing. I said, y'all don't know what the sermon's even about. But even that title, Strange Love. We've all been in strange situations that seemed awkward, unusual, unsettling, downright hard to understand. And we have tried to navigate through things that made us feel uncomfortable, abnormal, bizarre, different, odd, offbeat, rare, and peculiar. First Peter talks about we're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation, but it also says we're kind of peculiar. In other words, within the context of your faith, we all are a little strange, aren't we? I know that you may not want to admit it today. There are folk who see you and call you strange because you get up on Sunday mornings, you come to church, you carry your Bible. They think there's something wrong with you, but there really isn't. Amen? Amen. But when it comes to this sense of strange love, I think that we run into strange people sometimes. People that we think, could I just say, a little weird, a little different. And so we have to sometimes look at them. And I just want to label this message today as strange love. And that simply means misguided love. Love that's out of bounds. Love that does not quite fit in what we call agape love. And that is the love that God has for us and the love that God displayed for us. Can I just get real for a second? You tell folk, I love you. And what does that really mean? And I really love you. If folk keep telling me that, you know, I love you. Well, I've already assumed that you care about me, that you love me in that brotherly way and that agape way. But we hear that as a believer. We say, I love you in the Lord. Romans 5:8 reminds us that God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet in sin, that Christ died for us. He proved his love to us. So y'all got real serious. I might as well go back, throw back on y'all for a minute. Y'all thinking of that other love. I'm talking about this agape love. I'm not talking about a dear Charlene, I love you. I'm not going to say no other name. But this love is the love that is shared between brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And it's so important. And so in the text today, it is John, who scholars say is the same John who wrote the gospel, who is addressing Christian folk. Yes. And these letters that we often see are letters written not to folk who are out of church, who don't know Jesus. They're written to folk who said, I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. This letter is going to them. And he really talks about their behavior. Yeah. He puts the rubber to the road and talks about this sense of exposing their strange love. Well. Exposing a love that does not quite connect, does not quite make sense. It is strange love. And so John, because he spent time with the risen Savior, he knows what love looks like.
That's right.
He's walked with the Master. He's heard Jesus preach about love. He's seen people won to Christ by way of love.
Yeah.
And can I just say this? You've got to just love people. You may not agree with them, but keep loving them in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. We're trying to change folk when we couldn't be changed. And so just love them and all their stuff, because somebody loved you in spite of you. Amen. But John sees something in particular that disturbs him, and he wants to do what I would call an investigation, a probe. He says, whoever claims to love God and yet hates a brother or sister, and I'll pause it right there. That he says, behind the scenes, I'm detecting that some of you don't really care for your brother or sister in Christ. You say, oh my God, who's that? And he's writing to Christians saying that you have made this claim as to how much you love God. I love the Lord. He's heard my cry. We got some of the strongest testimonies ever about how much God has done. But he says, whoever claims to love God, that I'll raise my hand because I claim to love God. Am I by myself today? How many folk claim to love God? It's okay. It's a safe poll that I claim to love God. Why? Because he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. That's why I love him. I acknowledge him. I acknowledge that Christ came and died for me. But he says, who claims to love God yet hates his brother and sister. I looked at all the translations and it's still hate. It didn't change. It wasn't like one translation said, no, who don't care about the brother. No, hate. How can you say you love God but can't stand your sister or brother? Hate is a strong dislike. I can't stand her. She makes my blood boil. Oh, some of y'all said that I like her, but I don't love her. I'll put up with him, but I really don't care much for him. If I saw him in a back alley, I might hit the gas instead of the brake. Oh, some of y'all trying to be all Holy Ghost filled. And so John points this out. He comes in and takes fingerprints. He probes this thing and says, how in the world can you say that you love God and then you turn right around after church and cut somebody up? I'm just saying this in the text. And the text ought to help us in our daily living. It's for reproof, for correction, that the man and woman of God might be thoroughly furnished unto good works. And so that you're in the same room and the same church and on the same job, and you just would rather go around the other way to avoid that person. But Reverend, don't call it hate. Well, that's what it is. It's a dislike that there's something in me that don't care for you, but at the same time, let me carry my Bible with me because I love God. Oh, that's some strange love. Isn't that strange love? It didn't add up for me. Gospel of Luke, We're reminded by way of Christ as he quotes the scriptures, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Not across the street, but your sister and brother in Christ. Amen. Just want to let you know that there was an investigation going on, but that wasn't just it. There was also an observation, because he says, who hates the brother or sister is a liar. That you ought to quit not telling the truth. But I nothing. You say you love me, but I saw the way you looked at that sister and gritted your teeth and how you gave, I'm just being a real church today, how you gave that brother the eyes, I wish he wouldn't make a move. And your hands already on your piece. Some of y'all didn't come from the country. Y'all know about that. But if the shoe fits, wear it. If you're among the whoevers, then you've been labeled as a liar. My parents drilled to me, and my father would say, you are a liar, and the truth is not in you. What does he mean? He means that I wasn't giving him all the intel. Amen? And didn't your parents say that if you will lie, you will cheat? If you will cheat, you will steal. There's a pattern that ought to be passed down to the next generation. And they would say, look at me while I'm talking to you. And they would tell if you're lying. But there is this observation that something has been seen within the body of Christ that disturbs this writer to the point that I took it on and called it strange love. That somehow it's not adding up. These were phony folk. Can I be modern? Who carried a big 10-gallon Bible. Phony folk who had a big old cross around their neck. I'm not picking on anybody. Phony folk who had that palm branch around the rearview mirror. Funny folk who had the Bible way on the desk, daily bread carrying. I'm just saying that as he looks at this, he sees something other than what has been spoken. John 8:44, where Jesus just says, now y'all keep messing with me. He lays down. He said, you know what? He said, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires? He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. That sounds like mama theology. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Strange love. Investigation. Then there's an observation, but at some point there has to be an explanation. It says, for whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they... In other words, you've seen your brother and sister, but you've not seen me. You love me, but you've never seen me, but you can't stand them. He says, anyone who loves must also love you. It's not optional. That you can't have your cake, and there's some later, and eat it too. But that there comes this tension in the text. And that's what helps us in our study of the word, is when it don't feel right. It's when it steps on our toes. It's when it comes right down to it that you are a fake and a phony who says with your mouth, as we did last week, I love you. Give me a hug. Yeah. There's some folk you won't even hug. You say, yeah, just stay back. Don't you? Don't come any closer. Because you know their spirit. And you've discerned them. But this is something that comes to speak to inconsistency. And I've raised my own question. How can you tell me I cannot love God? It becomes in question. Yes, God knows your heart, and no, we can't say that you know, we can't read your mind, but it's very clear that you can't have it both ways. John says it's not optional. It's a command. And what God has commanded for your life, he really means that. This is not to be negotiated. If I do this, God, oh, some of y'all have done that, and me too.
Yeah.
Now, if I do this, won't you do that? God is not a man. He's God. But he begins to explain to them that there really is no out, that today you've got to have this kind of love that I've displayed, and you've got to share it.
Yeah.
Reverend, that's still a tough dilemma. My feelings have not changed. Well, when you juxtapose it and put it together and say, now, can I do both? No. Something has got to give. Otherwise, you will be strange in your loving toward someone else. And I pray that the text is helping each of us. So what's keeping you from loving your sister and your brother? What is it that they've done yesteryear that you just won't let go? What is it that they've said? I'm not just talking about blood relatives. Blood folk get into scraps all the time. Y'all got families. But I'm talking about fellow Christians. What is it that is stopping that? Today, ask God to search your heart. Say, God, if you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and strengthen me. I need help in this area. Be honest with God, and God will soften your heart in such a way that you'll be jumping, hey, loving on folk. You won't be able to help yourself. They'll say, wait a minute. That's kind of strange, but the love of God will overtake you. Have you ever been overtaken by the love of God before, that you didn't really want to be all lovey-dovey in the Lord, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts working on you? Come here. You know what I want. It's about this transformation that happens. But the enemy wants you to stay in that stage of being strange about your love. The enemy gets joy out of the fact that you are kind of sometimey. He likes the fact that you're hot and sometimes you're cold. And the Bible said, if you get lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I'd rather you be one or the other. And Ephesians talks about, say, if you anger, do not sin. If you rub the wrong way, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. And I love this. And don't give the devil a foothold. All he wants is to say, oh, yeah, see, I told you that wasn't all that. You see that? Didn't I tell you? But the Lord is always looking for us to help us. Are you guilty of practicing strange love? Can you blame the old devil? The devil made me do it. But what part did you play? Weren't you the supporting actor in this? Didn't you get a Golden Globe for best actor in a drama series? I mean, you can't put everything on the devil. We must separate ourselves from this strange love. This love that's trying to invade our homes. This strange love that's coming to our schools. This strange love that's showing up on our jobs. It's just strange. But there's no greater love than the love that came by way of Jesus Christ. His love is not strange. It's almighty, but it's not strange. It's everlasting, but it's not strange. It'll heal you, but it's not strange. It'll hold you, but it's not strange. It'll keep you, but it's not strange. It'll save you, but it's not that strange love. Amen. I love what Andre Crouch, he says, I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he does. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. But oh, I'm so glad that he did. Because I used to deal in strange love until one day he died for me. And now I've got love that keeps me secure. What about you? Oh, you were used to be strange. But didn't God come along? Oh, how he loves you and oh, how he loves me. Don't you feel the love of Jesus Christ today? I do. That's why he went to the cross, because he saw a strange life. But he loved you even to the uttermost. I'm so glad that he lifted me. I'm so glad that he saved me. I'm so glad that he continues to keep me, that the word will jump on me and help to shake me and help me to look down the list of who I didn't like or who you didn't like. Lord, I can't do both. I can't do both. That trade in strange love and get real love. Trade in that bizarre stuff and get this blessed love. Trade in this love that causes you to be sometime, eh? And embrace the love of Jesus Christ. I declare that once you begin to love yourself, you can love others. Once you get past the point that God, you have made me, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So take off the strange love label and put on the label of Jesus Christ. That is the word of God today. It is already blessed. Come on, stand today all over this place. You can't have it both ways. And that's why I'm so thankful for his grace and his mercy. Because that makes the difference in transforming me into who God has made me to be. Aren't you glad about that today? That he comes along and does to you and I what needs to be done. Grace and mercy. Those twins, they make a difference. Yeah.